Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am thrilled that we are still studying Proverbs. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, meaning your laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or even regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. And about every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has set up a chat room in which you can go to and have dialogue during the breaks. Now, before I get started, I want to personally take this time, as I always do, to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using as best as I can, and I really appreciate you giving them to me, so continue to please do that. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through the prophet Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. That's taken from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Now, the promise is that if you seek, you will find him. And if you call upon him, he will come to you, but you have to do it timely. You can't wait until it's too late. God said again through King Solomon, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. That's taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. Now, the promise is that God is going to give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He's going to give you love and joy and peace. But if you are a sinner, you will not receive that. You will receive the travail and trauma and vexation of the spirit and the like. And again, God said through King David this time, Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart, I say, on the Lord. And that's taken from Psalms 27, verse 14. Now, the promise is that you're going to be strengthened. Your heart's going to be encouraged. But you have to wait on the Lord. That's the key. So what I'm asking you this at this time, my brothers and sisters, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we start the lesson, I am always going to rehearse this for you. You need to know that the Bible is written in code. Yes, that's right. Meaning mysteries and secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, and symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And this is why we're here tonight, to study and learn together. So let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at verses 20 through 23. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the scripture text to you. This is good advice. Solomon is giving good advice throughout the book of Proverbs, but this particular advice is special. Listen to it, my precious brothers and sisters. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. My son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of light. So what Solomon is telling us, in proverbial form, it's a parable that we are to respond to godliness. He's using the world as our father and the earth as our mother. Anyway, that is the advice that he's giving. And, of course, good advice is given all through the book of the Bible, all through the books of the Bible. And just to give you one that is so significant to me, and it's because of the wisdom it's identifying, and we know that in Proverbs is a book of wisdom, so to speak. Turn your Bible sources with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. And this is what Moses rehearsed to Israel. Moses said, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all of these statutes and say, surely, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? So this is telling us that the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the understanding of God, that is our intelligence and before others who see us doing the commandments, keeping the commandments, there will say that we are surely intellectual towards God. Now let's go and look at our New Testament complement. Turn with me, comparing and agreeing. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 21, and listen to what Jesus says in relationship to giving us good advice. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And the young man said, Master, all of these I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. Now that is the good advice that we should follow. And I see we're at our first commercial break. Let's take that commercial break, then we'll come back and complete the thought.
Should not commit adultery because you do incredible damage to your spouse. You do incredible damage to your spouse. You see, because as Paul wrote, you violate your oneness with your mate by entering into a bond with another person. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6:16, don't you know that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scripture says the two are united into one. That is why it's absurd to say it was a one-night stand or it didn't mean anything. Well, maybe it didn't mean anything to you. Maybe it didn't even mean anything to the girl you were doing it with or the guy you were involved with, but it means a lot to God, and the oneness of the relationship between a man and a woman is violated by this, and that, by the way, is why Jesus gave a release clause out of the marriage for the sin of adultery. Now, that is not saying if there is adultery in a marriage, you should dissolve it, because adultery is not only grounds for divorce, it's also grounds for forgiveness. And I've seen marriages survive this, though I will add that it's not easy, and a factor of trust is many times destroyed, or at the very least eroded dramatically, and it takes time to get it back, and I don't know that you ever completely get it back, but you can survive it. But the point is, why go through this kind of misery? Why expose yourself to this kind of an issue? And in most cases, adultery has not just been a one-night stand. It's been something that's gone on for a while, requiring habitual deception and lying that is often as devastating as the act itself. Heard about one woman that found out that her husband had been carrying on an affair with some other girl for 7 years. And she said, the wife said to the husband, the last 7 years of Christmases and birthdays and anniversaries have all been lies. And what she meant by that was, in her perception, all those family celebrations where he presented himself as the loving husband and the doting father, it was a charade. It was a lie because he was involved with some other woman. You devastate, you destroy, you hurt your spouse.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to complete the instruction on good advice. We know that Jesus is giving good advice to the young man that asked him, what must he do to have eternal life? And my brothers and sisters, eternal life is the only reason that Jesus came to give us eternal life. So that is critical to keep in mind what he said again to that person. The bottom line is that you must deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow Jesus Christ. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that whatever is not against the laws of God, you can honor and do. But whatever is against the laws of God, you must be obedient not to do them. And that's what I want you to get from this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to turn back to Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 32 through 35. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32 through 35. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind, my precious brothers and sisters, as I read the text to you, the scripture text. This is the instruction. Beware of fornication, and adultery. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? We just had a commercial break that identified the difficulty it is when you're caught in that type of situation. So this is what King Solomon tells us through Proverbs about that. Chapter 6, verse 32 says, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroys his own soul. A wound and dishonors shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is at the rage of the man, therefore he will not spare the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content though thou givest many gifts." In the same way happening with the woman, the rage of a woman, it will not be given to other than to vengeance. And that's what Solomon was telling Israel at that time. Now, even to show how grotesque or how that violates the sanctity of the relationship, we're going to go to Deuteronomy. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 27. And this is what Moses rehearsed to Israel. And he did not bite his tongue, so to speak. He really identified the severity of having sex immorally. This is what Moses told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 1. He said, "And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when ye pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set up great stones and plaster them with plasterers." And this is what the continued completion of the thought, or what Moses cited Israel. In verse 20 through 23, it says, "Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say, Amen." And verse 26 completes the thought by saying, "And cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen." So Moses held Israel to a greater condemnation than what Proverbs is telling us in King Solomon's time. Okay, let's go to a New Testament compliment. We want to see what the New Testament says, comparing and agreeing with this. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And this is how Paul tells us about this. Paul says to the Corinthians, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." So this is how significant fornication and adultery is. You must be aware that it can cause you to lose your soul, my brothers and sisters. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. So beware of unrighteousness and immorality, of the world especially. Even though they say it is not, God says it is. Listen, my brothers and sisters, today in our society, marriage between same sex is sanctioned or is all right by the world, but not by God. And that's what I'm saying. We got to be very careful about that. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Proverbs. This time we're going to look at chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 25 through 27 in Proverbs chapter 7. And this is the scripture or the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the scripture text to you. The results of sin. This is the results of sin. And this is what King Solomon told Israel. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many among men have been slain by her. Her house is the way of hell, going down to the chambers of death. Sin, we know. Paul tells it best, the wages of sin is death. Give you another indication of how significant this is with God. This is what the prophet Ezekiel had to say about sin. We're going to go to Ezekiel. Turn with me, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 1. And we got several other verses to look at. But listen to what the prophet Ezekiel said about sin. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 1 says, the word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, and verse 20 continues, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Again, this is the result of sin, my brothers and sisters. Verse 23 continues. It says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Verse 30 through 32 gives the completion of the thought. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all of your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. And I see that we're at the second break. Let's go ahead and take that second break. Then we'll complete the thought on this instruction.
The consequences of sexual sin. Number one, notice that he lost in sexual sin the loss of mission. The loss of mission. They put his eyes out. He no longer had vision. I promise you, if you continue in sexual sin, it's a matter of time before you lose your vision. Secondly, Samson lost. This is a big one. Sexual sin will cause you to lose and come to a place that you have a loss of common sense. Hadn't y'all seen that happen? Hadn't you seen people just starting to do things and you know, they're not even thinking. Four times Delilah said, tell me your secret. And he told her a lie and said it was the secret. And every time he woke up, the Philistines were upon him, and he killed them, and he killed them, and he killed them, and he killed them. But when he really told the family secret, then suddenly the power had left. The point is this. I mean, at some point, tell me your secret, tell me your secret, and you see she's up to no good. Shouldn't you have some common sense? The loss of common sense. But sin causes you to lose a loss of mission, a loss of common sense. Only four of these. A loss of fear. He should have been terrified. He should have been hitting the brakes, not gassing it. He's going faster and faster. That's how sin does. You know you ought to be stopping. You know you're not doing good. You know you're deteriorating physically. You know that you're going to be found out. You know things are closing in. You know it. And you, instead of putting the brakes on, you're gassing it. You've lost your fear. And lastly, the loss of God's favor. You know, sexual sin will cost you the loss of God's favor. All the success that you are having right now is God's favor on your life. You let that favor live. And the Bible said Samson woke up after he told her the secret and shook himself and said to himself, the Spirit of the Lord will come on me just like he has always. I've always had it. I've always got it. I'll always have it. And he went to fight. And when he did, in the middle of the fight, it dawned on him he wished not the Spirit of the Lord had departed. He had lost the favor of God. It didn't happen the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time. That is not God excusing your sin. It's his mercy. But there will come a time when continual sin, habitual sin in your life that the Holy Spirit has convicted you of will cost you the favor of God.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's look at the conclusion of the results of sin. We know that Ezekiel was talking about it, and he amplified more than what King Solomon was telling Israel. This is what Ezekiel concluded in his prophecy, verse 30-32. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. So the results of sin is that you die. And that is what Ezekiel was telling Israel. Now let's go and look at our New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will. Comparing and agreeing, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 23, and we're going to see how sin causes us to die, meaning you can't get out of that death physically. God did not send Jesus Christ to relieve or reprieve the body, only the soul. And we have to understand from our studying that when sin kills us, it kills the body and the soul. But God has sent, through repentance, God has sent Jesus Christ to reprieve the soul, but not the body. But listen to how Paul tells the Romans how significant this is. And this is pertaining to you and I today, my precious brothers and sisters. This is why we struggle, because of the result of sin. Listen to what Paul says to the Romans in Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 23. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So the carnal is going to die. So since we are incarcerated in the flesh, meaning we have body and flesh as a makeup of our existence, listen to what Paul says. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So the sin is causing me to die. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Sin will not allow me to rebound by myself. I need Jesus Christ. Listen to what verse 19 says. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. You see how sin controls? We sin, it controls. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, meaning thou shalt not do this, Pete, for I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That tells us that sin has preeminence over us in this experience. And only through Jesus Christ can we get out of it. Listen to what Paul says on verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So that tells us only through Jesus Christ can we get rid of the dominance or the predominance that sin has over us in our lives. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually, that even though Jesus Christ died for our sins, the results of sin gave us the knowledge of good and evil, which we are still held accountable for. So that is the war that we fight, my brothers and sisters. Remember when Jesus, or when Paul says, you know, it's not flesh and blood. The knowledge of good and evil is a war that goes on in our members. And only through the knowledge of everlasting life can we overcome it. And that's the instruction that I want you to have, that the results of sin gives us this calamity that we are confronted with in our lives. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Proverbs chapter 8 this time. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 8. And we're going to look at two verses in Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 13 and 14. This is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the scripture text to you. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's the instruction, my brothers and sisters, that I'm giving to you. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And this is what Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 and 14 says. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom I am understanding. I have strength. So this is what 13 and 14 is telling us, that the fear of the Lord, that is our counsel, and that's our wisdom. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the beginning of knowledge. In the fear of the Lord, we have strong confidence. It is our strength. That is why the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And to give impetus to this, Moses told this to Israel at Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20. Turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 20 and listen to what Moses told Israel. This is what Moses said concerning the fear of the Lord. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when they saw it, they removed themselves and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak with us. Thou speak with us, and we will hear you. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto them, fear not, for the Lord God come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. So my brothers and sisters, Moses told Israel that the fear of the Lord is not to sin against him. That is critical. The fear of the Lord is not to sin against God. Now let's go to our New Testament complement. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to be, I see we're at our third, take our break, and then we'll come back and complete the lesson.
So it isn't sin that torments It is the guilt, the weight, the burden of sin, of being wrong, of having wronged someone, of having mistreated someone, of having stolen from someone, lied on them, or betrayed them. It is not the sin, it is the guilt, the aftermath, the fleeting thoughts, the struggling of a tormented soul, wrestling with your behavior and struggling with your choices. The guilt of sin. If this woman was tormented, she wasn't tormented by sin itself, but the guilt of sin. If sin has guilt, and we have all sinned, I think, then it's safe to assume that we have all had guilt. Guilt has torment. Guilt has pain. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. It's driven people to liquor bottles. It's driven people to stick needles in their arms. It's driven some people to put a gun to their head because they could not live with the guilt of sin. Not just sin, the guilt of abandoning children, the guilt of giving a child away, the guilt of abortion, the guilt of lying, cheating, the guilt destroying a life, the guilt of infecting a person, the guilt of betraying a confidence, the guilt of breaking a heart, the guilt of destroying a life. It's not that you don't go on. You can go on because you're tough, you're strong, you're relentless. Strengthen your back, hold your head up, you're riding above it. But nobody knows the weight of guilt. Comes out in our behavior, comes out in our temper tantrums, comes out in our hostility, comes out in our pride, comes out in our arrogance. And beneath all of these trappings, down at the root, there's guilt.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, this is what the fear of the Lord to hate evil does for us, or we shall see how it can get you into trouble. We're looking at Acts chapter 9, verse 24 through 21, and this is what it says. It says, but they're laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essays to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple, again, because he did what was not in favor of godliness towards the Israelites. They feared him. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Again, because of the fear of the Lord, this is how they responded to Saul. So that's an example. Now, what I want you to do is get this from the reading. This is what I want you to spiritually understand from this example, that the fear of the Lord is essential to our salvation. Because if we don't fear God, meaning going to hell, we will continue to sin against him without repenting. And that's the key, because we're going to continue to sin. But we must repent of those sins. And that's because of the fear of the Lord that we will be cast into the lake of fire, because that's where hell will be cast. So that's what I want you to get from this particular instruction. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You do not want to do anything that the fear of the Lord will not allow. Now, let's go back to Proverbs. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 8 again. We're going to look at verse 32 through 36. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32 through 36. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the scripture text to you. Wisdom is highlighted. This is the book of wisdom by many theologians, Proverbs. And this is what Solomon is noted for, his wisdom. And so this is wisdom highlighted by Solomon in Proverbs 8, verse 32 through 36. Solomon says to Israel, "Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways." He's talking about wisdom. "Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me," meaning wisdom, "watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain the favor of the Lord. But he that sin against me," meaning wisdom, "wrongs his own soul. All they that hate me love death." And we already went through the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So we're seeing that that's wisdom. So the fear of the Lord is pertinent to our soul salvation. So now in Jeremiah chapter 9, we're going to get another highlight on how critical wisdom is. And this is what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 12 says, "Who is the wise man? Who has wisdom that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, that he may declare it?" So this is critical. Who is going to be the one that receives this and will declare it? And we know that in the prophet Isaiah, he says, you know, "I have those of a good report. Who will believe it?" And this is what Jeremiah continues to say in verse 23, verse 25, about this wise wisdom. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters. Verse 23 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his own wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his own might, neither let the rich man glory in his own riches. But let him that glory in this, that he understands and knows that I, the Lord, this is what I exercise, loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." So, wisdom highlighted, Jeremiah says, loving kindness and judgment and righteousness. And we know that love is essential to our receiving mercy and grace. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life." And we know that the psalmist says that God loveth judgment, and that God is known by his judgment, and that God loveth righteousness. My brothers and sisters, that is wisdom highlighted. And so now let's go to the book of James. We're going to go to the New Testament, and we're going to compare and agree with what we just read. This is how the New Testament complements wisdom highlighted. Turn with me to the book of James, and we're going to look at James chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. James chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. And again, this is what the writer tells us today about how significant the wisdom of God is. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensuous, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, and now I see that we are at our last break for this evening. Let's take this break, and then we will complete the thought on wisdom is highlighted. So I sense that we have a technical problem. So what we'll do is we will continue. Now then, break.
No wonder she walked in crying. No wonder she walked in the door weeping. There was no one else that could fix it. No wonder she kissed his feet and put down her hair and started drying his feet with her hair. Because there was nothing but the blood. Nothing else could do it. Nothing else could cleanse it. Nothing else could fix it. Nothing else could restore it. I've been from bed to bed and man to man and woman to woman. Yes, I'm a sinner. But nothing else could fix it. I ran off with anybody who said they would fix it, but nothing else could fix it. Nothing else could fix it. I didn't mean to be a tramp. I wasn't trying to be a slut, but I couldn't find nobody. Nothing but the blood. 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 I tried everything else. Nothing but the blood. I slept with everybody else. Nothing but the blood. I tried to shoot it up, drink it up, smoke it up, snort it up. Nothing, 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 nothing. But the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood that makes me white as snow. No other fountain.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's complete this thought on wisdom highlights. And we're comparing and agreeing with what Proverbs, King Solomon, told Israel about how significant wisdom is. Now, James is telling us on this wise. James chapter 3, verse 13 through 17 says, who is a wise man? He's beginning just like Jeremiah said about wisdom and telling us, baiting us. Who is a wise man? Who has the wisdom of God and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensuous, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. My precious brothers and sisters, this is wisdom highlighted. This is not the wisdom of God that is devilish and envious. It's earthly, sensuous. This is the wisdom that's from the world. Now, this is the wisdom of God. This is the highlight. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. It's gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. My precious brothers and sisters, this is wisdom highlighted. This is the wisdom of God. It's no fault. You find no fault in it. And it's gentle. It's led with peace. Everyone is open to it. It's full of mercy. Good fruit. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy. That is the key to the highlight. And this is what it should mean spiritually in our lives. That Jesus the Christ is the spirit of wisdom, meaning the wisdom of God. According to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 24, and only salvation comes through that wisdom. That is what we want to know, that it's not the wisdom of the world. It is not the wisdom of man. It is the wisdom only of God that's going to give us soul salvation. Now, the wisdom of man can help your physical experience, but your physical experience is not going to have spiritual salvation. That's how critical this highlight is, my brothers and sisters. You want the wisdom of God. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Proverbs chapter 9. We're going to look at one verse in Proverbs chapter 9, and then I want you to keep in mind this instruction as I read the verse to you. Be careful whom you correct. This is critical, my brothers and sisters, to your wisdom of God, your understanding of God, your knowledge of God. You have to be careful whom you correct. And this is what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8 about it. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. This is so significant to us. If we are confronted by someone that is doing wrong and that wrong is intense, we have to be very careful how we approach that individual, or we can be victimized because of it. Now, this is what God said about this in the example of Job. All right? Turn with me, if you will, to Job chapter 42. And this is significant because this is telling us where Job's friends weren't careful and they were sanctioned by God. And this is where we want to make sure that we are careful about approaching people for correcting them. This is Job chapter 42, verse 7 through 10. This is what it says. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the things that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me the things which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according to the Lord's commanded them, and the Lord also accepted Job. So you can see that we have to be very careful in whom we correct, because if we are correcting, for instance, with the worldliness we've learned and not with the godliness that is required, we will be sanctioned. And that sanction could turn into death for us physically even. There are situations that there's a saying that you can be dead right, but you're still dead. So you got to be very careful. Now what we're going to do, turn with me to the book of Acts. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. And this gives an example of how carelessness can cause you calamity. Acts chapter 19, verse 13 through 17. This is what the book of Acts says. Acts chapter 19, verse 13 through 17. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves to call on them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preached. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on leapt on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So this is the example that we have to understand and be very careful, my precious brothers and sisters, that we do not get caught up in trying to correct something that we are not in a posture to do, like the sons of Sceva. If we are to correct, we are to correct with the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God tells us to be careful whom you approach, meaning if you have someone that is in addiction, that is under drugs, or someone that is bent on murder, you got to be very careful how you approach them, because you could get caught up in their calamity, or you could be hurt yourself physically. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that those things that belong to Satan will harm you. So when you plant and water, be careful, because if you are taking or talking with a drunkard or an addict or someone insane, etc., you may get hurt. So that's what I want to share with you in this last instruction that we have for this evening. Now, as we are getting ready to close out, my precious brothers and sisters, what I want you to do is take in mind this, that the host and I personally thank you and bless you for your participation this evening and for your encouragement. Good night.
So it isn't sin that torments
thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you are blessed by our program this evening. Please join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E.